Ron was right backstage when he said, Sia don't play, because before we got live, you were chastising me. Stop touching that microphone, young man. It's hilarious. You always yell at me before the show starts.
I think I'm going to make you listen to what I hear. It's like one of those things. It's like, you know, like what's that thing when the nails on the chalkboard, like I hear and I'm like, oh my God, please stop that sound. I don't know what it is that's going on with your microphone. And it picks up something. I'm not sure what it is.
I got the high tech mic. You know how high tech I am.
It could be your arm, because I feel like it's like any arm movement like that your microphone is like sitting on. But anyway,
hey, I digress. This is the first show of 2026. Happy New Year. How are you? What are all your New Year's resolutions? No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to go into that. But Happy New Year, my friend. How you been?
I have been doing wonderful. It has been a wonderful 2026. Great kickoff and start. My word of the year is curiosity. So ooh. I'm all about everyone. Let's stay curious, my friends, because I think from there, it opens up endless possibilities.
You are getting extra curious as of late. I want you to talk about next segment, your love of Stray Kids and K-pop in that channel. But before we do that, I want to talk about something super exciting in 2026, and that's my Chicago Bears. Sia, you know I'm a diehard Chicago Bears, and I'm a diehard Chicago sports fan. But the Bears are in the playoffs, and last Saturday, I was so lucky to be in attendance at Soldier Field with my son Lucas as the Bears finally beat the hated Green Bay Packers to move on to the divisional round, and now we're facing the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. So I'm all decked out in Bears gear. I know you're not the sports ball? You're not a big sports ball fan, but I know you're cheering for the Bears through me, right?
Well, you know, I am from California, so I don't know. When you said like LA Rams, I never care. I don't even know who they are, so it's fine. But do you want to hear my one connection to the Bears? It is, do you remember the Super Bowl shuffle back in the 80s? Right? Oh, you're on mute.
I said, who can forget the Super Bowl shuffle?
So your quarterback, what's his name? McMahon?
Jim McMahon, yep.
I met him. So I hung out with him at this event here in Dallas. So chatted with him. Great guy. He's pretty funny. He's, you know, I've never been around football players. So he's kind of smaller than I thought you would think a quarterback would be. And I'm not saying he's small. He's definitely a bigger guy, but he's small compared to some of the other NFL guys I had met at this event. So yeah. I just thought it was interesting. So that's my connection to you.
You met the Punky QB. That was his nickname back in the day. And obviously, and of course, he played with Sweetness, Walter Payton. But speaking of Chicago, Sia, as you know, this show would not be possible without a great sponsor from the city of Chicago. Speakeasy Custom Tattoo is located in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago in the historic Flatiron Building. And with over 30 years of experience, they have curated a staff of magnificently talented local and international artists, and they continue to host monthly guests from all around the world. They're an appointment-only custom tattoo shop offering a wide range of styles in a clean and relaxing atmosphere. And whatever the style it is you're looking for, they will absolutely help make your vision come to life. So be sure to check out their artists on their website at www.speakeasycustomtattoo.com. Be sure to tell them Chris sent you. As you know, I love Kelly and Patrick and all they do for me. And I know they're Bears fans as well, and they're cheering from Speakeasy as we speak. So, see, let's kick off this show, and we got a lot more to talk about.
Let's go.
I love that song. Those on Instagram are looking at me, banging my head, throwing up the rock horns, if you will. That never gets old. And so even though it is a new year, we're not having a new song for the foreseeable future, if that's all right with you.
Hey, man, I enjoy it. So
you made it. You should enjoy it. But anyway, speaking of 2026, another really cool thing going on for me professionally. See, as you know, I've been so honored to be nominated for what is called Paybee's Bidmasters People's Choice Benefit Auctioneer Awards. So I've been nominated to become one of the top 50 charitable auctioneers in the country. So if you would be so kind, I would be honored if you scan that QR code place a vote for me. I'm currently second in the country. I'm second in the country, Sia, believe it or not. I have my work ahead of me. The person has a lot more votes in first, but nevertheless, just to be nominated by a great organization like Payby is an honor in itself. And I want to thank you for all your help in promoting Hail Hail Auctions and promoting the work I do, Sia, because it really matters and it's gone a long way. And as we've talked backstage, I got a lot of really cool things ahead in 2026. And if not for Brilliant Beam Media and your support, it would not be possible.
Hey, man, I believe in great causes, great people, great heart and soul. And yeah, you're giving us a run for our money over here. So you're accelerating. I think we're going to be there to catch up and support you. We might be dodging, you know, balls every now and then, but we'll get there. We'll get there for you, man. You're on fire. That's all I'm saying.
We're having fun doing it and we're making a difference, and that's what's most important. But speaking of being on fire, your new YouTube channel about K-pop and your curiosity and Stray Kids is on fire. So before we welcome Ron to the show, briefly talk about that, because it's just evidence of the amazing work you can do with Brilliant Beam Media, how you can leverage social media and content to create awareness. So talk about your love of Stray Kids and what you got going on.
It was completely impromptu. Let me be clear, you guys. I am not a K-pop person. I don't care for mainstream poppy music in general, but I did discover a band called Stray Kids, and I freaking fell down a rabbit hole. So long story short, they produce their own music. So it's not like they are a poppy band and they've got all these like Swedish producers or whatever. It is their own production. And so I really like their underdog story. This year has been their year. They have now won their eighth album, has gone number one on Billboard 200. It's the only in all-time Billboard history, the only band that has gone consecutive number ones 8 times in a row. Not Taylor Swift, not the Beatles, not any of them. And I want to clarify, since their premiere. So basically they're 8 for 8 for all the releases. Taylor Swift does have the record at 15 in a row, but it wasn't from her debut. So that's the big difference. And that's why it's pretty cool just to show how much K-pop is really, you know, grown. They are fourth generation. And you guys, if you're interested, the reason why I've done this whole thing.
You're selling Stray Kids. I'm trying to get you to sell yourself. And how
I was about to, you cut me off. I was about to say, you cut me off. What I'm saying is what caught me about this is to build a channel, to get your own community built up, is to understand the techniques around the marketing around K-pop. And so that's why I launched this channel, because I'm literally doing a live test case, and I'm going to do a future series on leveraging K-pop marketing for business. So follow my channel, guys. It's a reaction and it's a lot of fun. Nothing to do with
What's
business.
The name that of the was channel again, really one more fun. Time. What's the name of the channel one more time?
Mildly Obsessed Now.
Mildly Obsessed Now. So there you have it. Go to YouTube. Follow Mildly Obsessed Now. You'll see the fun K-pop content that Sia's creating. And in fact, I was interviewed about a song. I'm not going to be aired because I bombed it. You were hoping for a better reaction. But nevertheless, we've gone on long enough. We got to get Ron onto the show. And you mentioned underdog story through Stray Kids. And today's post by Ron Crit on LinkedIn referenced the underdog Chicago Bears. And so I'm so excited how this just got tied together. But if you don't know, Mr. Ron Crit is the founder of Ron Crit Consulting. He elevates your cause, career, and community in many ways through philanthropy. And so, Sia, I'd love to hear more about Stray Kids. Not really, but we're going to kick you backstage and welcome Ron to the show.
Awesome. See you guys. Have a great show.
Vote for Chris. Ron, there you are. Welcome to the show. Full transparency, this isn't the first time you were supposed to be on. We tried this in November. For whatever reason, the internet gods were not working well with us. But everything happens for a reason, so some say. And here you are. So if you don't mind, introduce who you are. And then we're going to talk about the Bears for the next 25 minutes, aren't we?
That works for me. I'm happy to do that. I can talk philanthropy anytime. But the Bears, you know, is a passion. I'll quickly tell you a little bit about me. I have a little over 20 years of experience in the nonprofit space, but I also spent early years in my career doing consulting for in the for-profit space. And my life kind of went full circle 3 years ago when I decided to take, you know, my knowledge and love for helping organizations succeed and doing it on my own. Planned giving, this sounds funny, it's my jam, and we will talk about it. But it's really interesting when you dive into how organizations raise dollars. There's so many different ways to go about it. And I really love helping organizations figure out what's best, but also incorporating a few things they can do strategically to just raise more money from these non-cash assets than what they've been doing in the past. And I do some coaching too, and I love it. It plays into our bears discussion, but accountability is huge. And having someone to work with on a regular basis, it makes such a difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you didn't come to Ron Crick Consulting and starting your own firm out of a whim, right? You have a longstanding history of many great organizations raising money, advising clients, working with donors. So if you don't mind, like, what is your passion? How did you get into, and why did you lead down this path of entrepreneurship?
It's so funny. I will quickly hit on my success / failure story. But out of college, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a consultant. I'm going to travel the world, make lots of money. It's going to be amazing. And it wasn't. I worked for two smaller companies. When the tech boom burst, I was starting from square one. And I worked for a nonprofit. And I was doing membership stuff. I was personal training on the side. I'm a huge fitness guy. I love exercise. And I really, when I was at my second consulting firm, the owner said to me, "We're closing, Ron. Maybe do personal training. You love it." And so I got certified, and it's been a side hustle for many years. And it's what's led me to coaching, executive coaching, because of that experience, like seeing people develop both physically, mentally, however, is awesome. But then the nonprofit I worked for was closing their doors. And all of a sudden I'm like, it's me. I'm the reason everyone goes out of business. And then I went to a bank, which is so random, but because my consulting days were in CRM, so customer relationship management software, and training and development, they're like, oh, you'd be a great trainer in our department. Spent 3 years at a bank. It was amazing. LaSalle Bank. And then Bank of America buys LaSalle Bank. Almost everyone on the team is gone. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm just
Ron, we're going to cut this show short. I'm afraid that I'm going to actually have to be fired from my – actually, I'm the owner of my own company. I can't get fired if you're bad luck or not.
Oh my God, you're hilarious. So, well, I'll rebound that. So I'm about to have the success story. So after either every company either going out of business or getting bought out, I then go to JUF. It's Chicago, one of the largest nonprofits in Chicago, the Jewish United Fund. They go by JUF. And I went and gave a health and wellness seminar. And when it was over, I met — it's funny, the same person who introduced me to my wife, I owe her a lot, introduced me to Bob Schuckman. And I ended up working for Bob for 15 years. And I learned so much about working with donors, raising money, marketing philanthropy. It was an amazing experience. We helped 39 local organizations raise $62 million in endowment commitments. And we worked with a couple different foundations, like really large organizations that give away money. One of them hired me away. I was there for a year and I realized I think I can do this on my own.
Yep.
And that, sorry, super long story takes us to today.
No, it's beautiful, right? I think we all have a story, and the beauty and the reason why people want to do business with me or you is because of our story. It's because of our authenticity. It's because of us being vulnerable, as you know, I believe so strongly in, and being authentic. Let's talk quickly about the bears, because you are very active on social media, right? Ron, you're a great follow on LinkedIn. If you're not following Ron on LinkedIn, please do so now, Ron Crit. But you had a good post today, I thought, about a comeback story and relating it to the bears. You know, and so as you mentioned, Ben Johnson being the leader of our favorite team, holding people accountable and leadership lessons and things of that. You know, touch a little bit more on that, because as I got to know and get to know you, you're a man of integrity and you do things the right way. And that's important in business and in life. So, where do you take from that? And, you know, talk a little bit about your social media journey.
Sure. Well, thank you. I'm trying. It's funny. The other day, I just got a call from someone who does LinkedIn consulting, and he's like, "You need to change your whole page." And it's funny. And I was like, "Oh, okay." I'm thinking about it, but I love social media. I think, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with it when people get negative, but I just try to post positive content and, you know, tips on how to raise money. But I often do talk about sports, and what a great way, whether it's teaching your children or teaching a colleague, picking yourself off the dirt after a loss, because we all make mistakes. We all lose deals or donors or whatever it is. And it's about how you come back up. And what I love about this Bears team, the Cardiac Bears or whatever you want to call them, is they're often down and then they rebound. It's this playoff game. And if you don't follow football, they were losing. The game kind of sucked. And you just felt at halftime that the Bears are going to get blown out. Well, their coach is an awesome motivator, great at the tactics. And those are things you need to succeed at whatever you do. And I think whatever speech he said at halftime, they start realizing they can come back. And it just shows that keep trying, keep digging. Sure, you're going to lose. It's part of life sometimes. But more times than not, if you keep taking one small step forward, you'll finish the project. You'll finish the marathon. You'll lose the weight, whatever your goals are. But yeah, sometimes it takes a hit. And that's what I love about the Bears this season.
I love it. And you said it so beautifully. And it's another great reason and example of why an organization who's in need of somebody like yourself that can provide the services which you provide. And we'll talk a little bit more about that shortly. But you hammered it, right? A great motivator and good at the tactics. And that's something you are, right? Both as a personal trainer and as a consultant working with nonprofits to raise additional money. Motivation is key in all areas of life, right? I can only envision some of these great organizations who have great missions and are doing great work, but their staffs are not motivated to raise money because they're failing. They're getting tackled on the 1 yard line when they thought they were going to score a touchdown, right? But you're there and you come in and you help organizations stay motivated, stay focused, just like Coach Johnson and the Bears. And you're great at the tactics, right? He's one of the best play callers maybe of all time. And I know you have great tools in your tool bag to help build those skills and help enrich other organizations. And I know we talked and you mentioned various types of giving, but I know you wanted to hammer some of your focus on donor advised funds. And that's an area that you focus on currently in working with organizations. So if you don't mind, explain a little bit more about that. And for those that don't know, how they can leverage and they could take advantage of some of these funds out there.
Right. So donor advised funds, for those that don't know, they're charitable giving accounts. You open one up at Fidelity, Vanguard, also religious organizations have them, some universities have them, and basically you put some money in them. They all have different minimums, and we'll say $1,000 is the minimum. So you put $1,000 into one of these donor advised funds. Technically, the money's not yours. However, you make recommendations. So if you're passionate about, you know, fighting cancer, you can send the money to an organization that does that. If you're passionate about helping kids, you know, whatever your philanthropic interests are, you can send the money as long as they're a legitimate 501c3. What's really cool is these dollars get invested. So your $1,000 could become $1,500. You know, a really good year in the market, or you made good decisions, that money can grow. So you could technically give away more money than you put in there. $320 billion plus dollars are currently held in donor advised funds. So meaning people around the US have invested $320 billion into these funds that they can then distribute. So the money has to go to charity. It can't just go back to the person. It can't be exchanged for like event tickets. So you can't receive anything for it, but you can make a ton of difference. And what nonprofits should do if they're not is track it. You know, that's rule number one. Whenever a gift comes in, what was the gift vehicle? Was it cash? Was it stock, donor advised fund, an IRA? There's all these different ways people can give now. And the first thing you have to do right is track it. So that way, when 2026 is ending, and you know in 2025 that Chris gave you $500 from his donor advised fund, but he hasn't done it yet, you can fire off a note in November and say, hey, Chris, thank you so much for your generosity. Don't forget your 2026 gift would be super impactful. We're helping X amount of people. Like, you have to show your impact, obviously, but it's really important to make sure you're identifying where the gaps are with your fundraising and just slowly start to fill them.
Absolutely. It's a great tactic, if you will, as you called it earlier, in ways for organizations to leverage money that they may not know exists, or when they do, right? How do you continue to ensure that giving comes? Because as we know, the monthly giving plans, the annual giving plans are really where organizations make a difference in their bottom line, frankly. And so the other thing I wanted to touch on that is super cool that I know you offer to organizations, and then I'll let you speak about your consulting business and how folks can get a hold of you. But in board development, you do a lot of improv training, as we talked a little bit backstage, which is super fun and super unique and creative. And another way just to help people be more comfortable being uncomfortable, which is coaching in itself, right? Whether it's on the field or off the field.
Okay, so back to Ben Johnson, and then I'll stop. I'll stop, as my son says, glazing him, which is weird that I just said it on a podcast. Early on, I actually had a LinkedIn post about how Ben Johnson said, I want the team to become comfortable being uncomfortable. And it's so true with fundraising. And it's true. I train staff and their board on it, because oftentimes you get hired to do fundraising because you were in sales or you just have an outgoing personality. Like you, Chris, you'd be an excellent fundraiser. But then you get to the job and you're talking to this high wealth individual, and it can be really nerve wracking. And if you practice, you know, I was, you know, a failed comedian and a failed improviser. We had a group and it didn't make it. You didn't see me on TV, but I tried.
That's all right.
I realized, though, the skills to being good at improv resonate with fundraising. If you learn how to listen, it makes a whole difference. Now, improv is a lot of, you know, obviously making things up on the spot. So learning how to think on your feet quickly resonates with whatever you do. But especially when dealing with different people, it's important to be able to, like, you know, think quickly, also have fun with it. You know, you're helping an organization, you're doing a great deed. So try to remember that when you get nervous. And, you know, like, there's the four P's of marketing, at least a million years ago there were. I'm sure it's grown, but that's what I learned in college. But there's, in my book, there are three P's to successful fundraising. And it's presence, practice, and pause. And that's what I try to do with the improv training, but I also try to make it fun. The best compliment I've gotten doing these classes for boards and organizations was a person came up to me afterwards and said, Ron, you just made fundraising fun. And it was like my heart exploded. And I want it to resonate. And we do these different games that are super simple and not pressure causing. Have you ever done a fishbowl exercise? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I think long ago, but remind me what it is, because I've been through a lot of different leaderships and different social, you know, and as an athlete, sure. Like, I had all these different things.
So a fishbowl is where you're in a room and there's like 20 people or whatever in the room. And then you take three people and they do, whether it's, you want to call it a skit or practice, but they're doing this demonstration with everyone watching. So it's like, you know, you're looking at a fishbowl. And the people who are in that circle, they don't, are being watched, they feel really uncomfortable.
Sure.
Because it's just, you can get nerve wracking. But if you make it fun and you flip it, so I try to do in my trainings, I'll partner people up, we'll come together, I'll find whoever is comfortable being in front and will do a practice. But it makes a huge difference if you can take some of that pressure off the situation. And I'll tell you a quick story from my consulting days. I'm in Minnesota. Our client is Best Buy 20 plus years ago. And we're in this circle. I'm in the circle. It's me and someone else. And they're asking me questions. And like 40 people are watching, these Best Buy execs, the head partner on the project. And so bad, so embarrassing. The person before me used the person's name as Mrs. Hornblower, which is not a great name anyways.
Yeah.
I said Hardblower instead.
Oh, geez.
And the whole room erupted in laughter. And I thought, that's it. I'm getting fired. Like this is my last day working here. And I laughed, I rebounded, I kept going. Life lesson, keep going, just keep moving. Afterwards, when I thought I was gonna get fired, the Best Buy person comes up to me and says to my boss and me, Ron ends training every day, period.
Being memorable, and then, right? And as you right. know, and as you so beautifully describe being in a fishbowl as an auctioneer, right? I'm on stage sometimes in front of 1,000 people with a microphone and myself asking for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Talk about being in a fishbowl. And to your point, being able to improvise, being light on your feet, being quick-witted, telling a bad joke or a good joke sometimes, just to be memorable, right? Wearing a flashy shirt or a jacket, right? Like I am today for good reason, of course. But when I'm on stage, right, I wear sometimes a jacket with rhinestone lapels, right? So I'm memorable. And as the training you provide to organizations, to board members or the development staff, right? Being memorable and asking for people's money goes so much farther when you're authentic and just owning it. If you make a mistake and you go by Hardblower, so be it, right? At the end of the day, people want somebody that they can relate to and that they can learn something from and that can be motivated by it. And that's exactly who you are. So we're running short on time, sadly. But if you haven't already, please scan that QR code. It'll take you directly to Ron's website, roncrittconsulting.com. Ron, we have a few more minutes, so I want to let you take the stage, give your elevator pitch. Who is it that you're hoping to work with? Why should they work with you? And where can they get a hold of you when they do want to?
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate the link to my website. I'll just say my email is super easy. It's rcrit, so it's K-R-I-T. And it's at roncrittconsulting.com. So again, you should see my name there. It's simply R-K-R-I-T at roncrittconsulting.com. You know, I want to work with organizations who are motivated and want to raise more money. I want to train your board. I want to train your individuals. I want to help develop a plan for you to raise more money and really implement different plan giving strategies to increase that. So we didn't talk a ton about it, but like DonorWise Funds, there's other tools where you can raise more money. You mentioned monthly giving. That's a great tool to raise more money. So I want to weave that into your current fundraising and help you be more successful. And then individuals who are just looking for an edge, they want to change careers or they want to move up in their career. I love those conversations and helping those people.
Yeah. So you heard it there first, folks. If you don't already work with somebody like Ron and you're looking for somebody that can provide what he provides, and of course, there's nobody else like him. He's super kind, super motivated, and most importantly, he's a Bears fan. So Ron Crit Consulting, scan the QR code. If you haven't already, he'll take you directly to his website. Ron, we could have gone on for hours and hours about so many different things, but thank you so much for joining me today and being nimble on your feet. We called an audible, you like that pun, last month or last November. You were supposed to be on and it didn't work. So our headsets were out and we were calling plays in from afar, right? But nevertheless, this has been a whole heck of a lot of fun. It would not be possible without our sponsor, as I mentioned earlier, Speakeasy Custom Tattoo. Shout out to Patrick and Kelly, my personal tattoo artist in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. So Ron, if you're in the market for a tattoo, Speakeasy is the place to go. Of course, Brilliant Beam Media, CAS Atornrat, my great friend in business and in life, my big sister I never wanted, but Brilliant Beam Media, if not for them, this show would not be possible. Her production skills, Sia is a great friend in so many levels, so reach out to Brilliant Beam Media if you're looking for social media content creation services or podcasting And then, of course, Towsie. So we're going to say goodbye. Have a great rest of your day. And hail, hail.
Falling hail, asleep hail. With your neck in the wrong position can be a real pain in the neck. Literally. People of all ages are falling for Towsie. Towsie gives you the comfort you've always dreamed of. Go to TowsieBrands.com and get your comfort on.